Thank you. I know that's not what your program says that we were going to do, but this is kind of what came together. And they told me that Ivan Rush wrote my bio, and I was pretty nervous about it until I heard it. So anyway, thanks, Ivan. So the first question I think that most people have when we start talking about this is, why in the world would we ever consider confining production cows? You know, sure, we do that with open cows that we're finishing out, but why would we do this with a good production cow? And a lot of this thought process came out of the fact that we have the availability of grass is reduced. For this region that the Range Beef Cow Symposium audience usually comes from, we always have chronic drought. There's always issues with that. But in parts of that region, there's always more grass being plowed up for crop acres. And we run into urbanization. And so that reducing the amount of grass that we have results in an increased value of the grass we do have. And because of that increased value of the grass, we need to be rethinking the utilization of our grass. Maybe we need to use high-quality grass for gain and residues or other cheaper feeds for maintenance instead of assuming that the cheapest place for a cow to be maintained is on grass. So when I get done today, you may not change anything in the way that you're doing your operation. But what I want you to do is think about some alternatives. And if some of you are thinking about starting in the operation or trying to bring somebody home, is there any component to this that might help get someone new started or help us start a new profit center or do more on fewer acres? So that's where the confinement cow research really started. And the other thing that I want you to think about is that some of the things I'm going to share with the way we did this were for a research setting. We wanted to research all aspects of having a production cow in confinement her whole life, you know, 365 days a year. That might not be something that you would actually do in your operation, but we need to know those answers. And so that's what we did the first 2 years of our research study was total confinement, everything from lactation, gestation, breeding, weaning, everything happened in confinement. So the last year and then again this year, we've started a systems approach to it. And so we do have half the cows that stay in confinement all the time, and then we have another half of the cows that go out on corn stalk residue as soon as that's available for as long as it's available and then come back into confinement. So we're kind of comparing how could something like this work with limited grass. Every producer is going to have a unique system, and you're going to have to figure out what's going to work best for your given system. So I'm going to share with you research results and some things that we've learned, but every producer is going to have to evaluate the resources they have, the system opportunities they have, and figure out what might work best for them. So we're going to try this thinking outside the box. And you may decide that after we get done today that the thing that's going to fit your operation the best is the cows out on range with the calf. That may be the best resource that you have. But at least I want you to evaluate what you're doing and be very comfortable that you've worked through some numbers and you feel like what you're doing is the most economical thing for you to do. It fits your resources the best. It's what's going to work for you, not because you've always done it that way. You may go through some of this and decide that the calf may be the better opportunity for your grass, something that's going to put more and more gain rather than something for maintenance. You may decide that corn stalk residues is where you need to be, and maybe that means altering your calving date to fit that. I mean, you have a lot of options with some of these things. And it may actually result in you having your cow spend some time in some sort of confinement, which doesn't necessarily have to be a feedlot. But there are some things that you need to understand, and some of you have probably heard this before, but we're going to go through some of this briefly again. If you're going to have cows in confinement for part of the time, you really need to be careful how much feed they're consuming. So some of the things that we've learned from our confinement research is that it may work best to take an energy-dense byproduct of some sort and mix it with some low-quality crop residues or low-quality hay, something that's not of real high value, or like alfalfa or something that may come into play, but it may not. Some years our hays are very expensive for us. So you can limit dry matter without limiting the nutrients you're supplying to the cow. And if she's allowed to eat everything she wants, she can very quickly eat you out of house and home. So that's why this becomes important. First, I kind of hesitate on this because some of us don't have as much access to some of these byproducts as others, but it is important to pencil some of that out and see where it may work for you. And obviously, depending on where you are, it may be cheaper for some than others. But always we need to look at these options. But we can maintain cow condition. We know this from our research, that we can limit feed them, so limit their dry matter, but balance the diet such that it meets their energy needs and their protein needs, and still maintain that cow. So there's some key concepts to this. One is knowing the nutrient content of the feedstuff. Okay, you have to know the value of what you're feeding, especially if you're limit feeding. So if you were at this conference 2 years ago, we went through this slide, but maybe you've slept since then, so we'll go through it again. I told you this before. I want you to go get your feeds tested, send them in into a commercial laboratory, figure out what your feed value is, your TDN, your crude protein on your hay samples. But when we're using things like distiller's grains or sweet bran or any kind of those byproducts that are kind of high in digestible fiber, they are going to not come back accurate on the TDN if you send it, that sample into a commercial lab, because the TDN is a calculation. It's not a wet chemistry analysis or anything. So it's based off of acid detergent fiber. Well, those byproducts, if they're high in fiber, then that's going to skew that TDN value. It's going to say it's lower than it really is, because it is a high fiber source of feed, but it's a highly digestible fiber. So what I have on this chart is values from feeding trials where the energy value was determined based on the performance of the animals rather than a formula. Okay, so those tests, if you send in your hay samples to a commercial laboratory and it comes back and says, well, this is the calculated TDN, it's probably very close to the actual digestibility in the animal. So I'm not saying don't use those. I'm just saying when you're evaluating some of these byproducts, that's going to skew it. So it's important to know what those values should be based on feeding trials. If you use a lower value than you should, you're going to not limit the cattle as much. And so then I already told you that if you overfeed them in confinement, it's very expensive. Okay, so it doesn't work as well. Okay, the other thing is understanding the production cycle that the cow who happens to be in confinement is. Okay, most of you are very familiar with feeding that cow during the winter, before she goes out to spring grass with her calf. But if she's in confinement after that calf is born, and especially on into peak lactation, she has a much higher energy need than she does when you're feeding her prior to calving or just right after. And so just feeding a little more protein cube doesn't meet that cow's energy needs. So remember, when they're in confinement, they're not out grazing grass and consuming all that energy and protein that they need on their own. Whatever you put in the bunk is what they have available. So you have to be cognizant of where and when her need changes and what it changes to. The cow in the top picture is in peak lactation and she's about ready to hit the breeding season. We don't want her drawn down so bad that she's not gonna breed again. Okay. But the cow down on the bottom had her calf early weaned off of her, so she is bred, but she's not lactating. She has pretty low requirement. So those two cows are completely different in what their need is, and if you have either one of those in a confinement setting, you need to understand which diet you need to be feeding her. The other thing that happens if pairs are in confinement is accounting for the dry matter intake of the calf. I have a picture on my phone of a baby calf that's maybe 2 weeks old, and the feed truck has just come by, and he's licking feed off the cow's face. He's already trying to eat. So they start eating pretty early, and you need to account for a little more dry matter for him. But you can do that. You can manipulate diets to meet the changing needs of that cow and calf. And so there's several different diet combinations on this slide, and then we have late gestation, lactating cow, and then a cow with the calf. And we can pretty much change that dry matter intake. Now, keep in mind, dry matter is everything with the moisture removed. The actual amount you feed has to have that moisture amount included back in it. So if she needs 15 pounds of dry matter and it's a 50% dry matter diet, you actually feed 30 pounds. That's important to understand when we're using some of these wet feeds like wet distillers, because if you don't make that conversion on a real dry feed, you don't short her very much. But if you make that mistake on a wet diet, then you really do. So you need to understand the difference between dry matter intake and actual feed. But anyway, you can change the diet and increase the energy density of the diet and essentially feed about the same pounds of dry matter, or you can stay on the same energy density of the diet and increase the pounds. Even though some of these look like they're quite a bit of pounds of dry matter, they're still a little bit limiting to the cow, just based on dry matter intake. Okay, but that lactating cow, this was a research project that we did for the 2 years that I mentioned, that where they were in confinement the whole time. And in year one, after 90 days of age on the calf, we had a diet that was on a dry matter basis, 60% wet distillers and 40% straw or stalks. The one thing I didn't mention was that half the cows are at Meade, Nebraska, which is on the eastern side of the state, and I have the other half out in Scotts Bluff in western Nebraska. So we have a little bit of climate variation, and we have a little bit of resource availability variation between the two groups. But we tried to keep the treatments the same so that we could combine the data for that. So the early weaned cows were given, so I guess that's the other thing I need to point out. After 90 days, half those cows had their calf weaned off of them. The other half kept the calf with them until we got to like a more traditional 180-day weaning. So the early weaned cows got 15 pounds of dry matter, and the late weaned pairs got 22, because that was the 15 that would meet the needs of the early weaned, of the cow, plus the amount that the calf chose to eat, the early weaned calf chose to eat. Okay, and I'm going to explain that a little more on a graph, but I'm going to show you. We did things a little different the second year. felt like that young calf with that small rumen needed another feed source in there that had a little higher passage rate. So we added some corn silage. And then the early weaned cows got 15 and a half, and then the pairs got that plus whatever the early weaned calf chose to eat. So this is the graph that hopefully makes that clearer. The reason we did this is because there's a lot of research comparing early weaning to not early weaning, but it's hard to do because in those systems, the energy level differs. Once they remove that calf and they take him somewhere else, the energy level he has compared to what the cow has are different. And so what we were trying to do in this was keep the energy level the same to see what impacts lactation really had on energy needs, whether early weaning was a good saver of feed energy or not. So if you look at this slide, the ugly blue is the early weaned cows, the amount of feed that it took to maintain that early weaned cow. What's on top of that is what her calf, who is now in a pen of his own without her, chose to eat. So then that was averaged together, you know, and then every week that was kind of adjusted. And that's the amount that was fed to the normal wean pairs that are still together. So does that make sense what we were trying to do? We're trying to keep the two pairs to get the same amount of dry matter without limiting the calf. That's what we did. Okay. So after 2 years of that data, we really had more location effect than we actually did weaning effect. We had a little bit of body weight change difference in the cows, but when you look at body condition score, which may be more important there, there really weren't any changes in that. And the same with the calf. The two groups of calves didn't gain much different there. Okay, so it was a, let me just say this. It could be a good management tool to early wean, but it didn't really save feed energy savings. Okay, pregnancy rate was not impacted, and calf health was good. We used a modified Sandhills calving system. We'll skip through some of this stuff. We did breeding. That was good. The calves need to be able, now I guess this would be true in any situation, but the calf needs to be able to reach feed and water and may need a place to access feed besides just the bunk. Doesn't have to be done in a feedlot, but if you don't, you're going to have some impact on pasture quality there. So it has to be an area like a crop ground or a pivot or a feed ground might be a better place. Or maybe an irrigated pasture or something where you can just you have the water access to bring that grass back. So the next thing that we did was incorporate the systems approach where we put the pairs out on stalks. This was the supplement that we fed them, dried distiller's grains, 5.2 pounds of dry matter a day to the pairs that went out on the stalks. The other cows remained in confinement with their calf still at side. And so the first year of this, we really didn't get any differences. The only thing I would say about this, the panhandle group, we had a lot of snow, and we had to come back in confinement, and then we went back out, and then we came back in. And we usually get lots of stock grazing, but of course the year I decided to start this trial was the year that we got like 30 inches of snow in November. So the ARDC ones had a little difference in the body weight ending of the cows and of the calves where we did not. And average daily gain of the calves was, again, a little different for them, but not for us. Pregnancy rates were good for both groups of cows at both locations, so that didn't seem to be impacted. So the next thing that I'm going to do, and then this will wrap up the talk, is I'm just going to talk about some economic comparisons of different systems. So I put in grass in this system at $50 a month per pair. Okay, that may not be what you pay, so you need to put in your own numbers. Maybe it's only 30 or 40 or something. I put in corn stalks at $18 an acre. Maybe you don't pay that much, but somebody else does. So you need to put in your own numbers. I put in some hay and stalks that were for this year, and you can see what those were based on for ton basis, and then an average cow cost. What we compared here was our Goodmanson Sandhills Laboratory in Whitman, Nebraska, their March calving herd, their June calving herd, complete confinement, and then the confinement and the stalks. And so you can see the number of days that they were grazing grass in the two GSL systems, obviously no grass grazing in the other two systems. Stalk grazing, these cows actually do go to stalks for part of the year. And then, of course, the confinement cow system, one would. There's hay in that for the March calving cows because they end up being fed a fair amount of hay. You can go through there. They also fed some distillers as a supplement. The confinement cows are going to have a lot more distillers in theirs because that's part of their daily ration. And then the confinement stalks as well because they're going to be supplemented out on stalks with distillers plus the time that they're in confinement. That's a big part of the diet. So we actually did some calculations, and we used actual average weaning weights. So those weaning weights are different. Rather than saying, I'll compare this system and assume this average weaning weight, we tried to use actual weaning weights that we came up with each of these systems. And put that in there. I can't see my screen over here and my mic, but what you see with that is that the confinement stocks one, when it comes out to the unit cost of production per, you know, 85% weaned to exposed, it's pretty similar to the March calving cost on that. The most expensive is obviously the confinement, and that's going to be the case, but what happens, it's kind of interesting, the June calving one in theory should be pretty cheap because they're not getting a lot of hay, they're out on grass, but if you look at those numbers, that one's actually just a little bit more expensive than the confinement and stalks and the March grazing. And why is that? Because I put in the grass at $50 a month per pair, whatever. So my point being on that is making those assumptions that you should be calculating out. If that's something that you've always done because that's always the cheapest thing, you should always be going back and recalculating, is that the cheapest thing as that changes? And for you, it may be, but that's my point. You've got to be checking these numbers as some of these grass leases and things go up. The stock residue and confinement thing would have looked better if I had to put stock grazing costs in there more similar to eastern Nebraska, but I put in what's more common for me. So that's something to consider too. What does it cost you to do something like that? So the summary of this is that energy density is the key to limit feeding. If you're going to limit feed dry matter, you've got to have the energy density diet to maintain the condition on the cow so that she continues to produce. Lactation is going to increase those energy needs considerably, so if that cow's still in confinement at that point, you need to adjust that diet. And I would say consider early weaning options. Our data showed that it wasn't a feed energy savings, but does it allow you better management? Can you take those calves and put them out on some good quality grass that you have that you don't have enough for pairs, but maybe you have enough for the early weaned calf? Allows you to put the cow in confinement on a low energy diet. What are some of those options that that might provide for you? Confined calves have to be able to reach water and feed. There's some misconceptions that a nursing calf gets plenty of liquids or plenty of hydration from milk, but you know that's not the case because that lactating calf, that suckling calf, That milk goes straight to the abomasum. He needs water in the rumen to help him develop rumen function. Can he reach the water? And does it refill fast enough to get it back to him if all the cows come in and drink? That kind of thing. And then limit-fed cows have to have ample bunk space. I took some of this out for the sake of time, but the cows got to have a good 2 foot of bunk space, and if you got pairs, you're going to have another foot and a half for the calf. And routine is very important. They got to be fed on a schedule if you're going to do that. But each producer needs to evaluate their resources and system options to see what might work best. And as prices change, systems need to be reevaluated. That's what I have, and you can contact me if you have questions.